Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In the Old Testament, Lot is a perfect picture of a carnal Christian. And we want to study his life because in studying his life, we're going to be able to see what it is that he did that is comparable to what we as Christians can end up doing or may be doing that we would want to stop if we did not want to end our lives as carnal Christians. So we'll go right into the text. We're going to be in Genesis 13 and 14 and out there into 18 and 19. And we're going to see some things about his life that are very telling. Oftentimes, if somebody confronts you directly about being carnal, it's hard to receive the rebuke and you can't really see necessarily what's going on in your life that would cause someone else or even yourself to believe that there's carnality. But when you look at it in Lot's life, it's much easier to see. So that's why we're going to study him. First of all, like a carnal Christian, Lot walked by sight. In Genesis chapter 13, I realize the circumstances that divided Abraham and Lot were circumstances of necessity. Their herds, their possessions had gotten too big. Furthermore, God wanted Abraham to separate from his family, and Lot was a nephew. Nevertheless, when Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to choose where he would go, Lot did not consider this decision by prayer, and he didn't consider this decision by faith. Like a carnal Christian, Lot walked by sight. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Notice, he made that decision not prayerfully. He made that decision not by faith. He made that decision by sight. He lifted up his eyes and beheld and chose that plain of Jordan based upon what he saw. Now the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. But it's an amazing thing how conditioned you and I have become in this visual society. People are so used to seeing things on the internet, seeing things on television, seeing things in the movie, seeing things outside when you're driving, that it's very difficult for you to see, by faith, the hand of God and to discern those invisible things and those substantial things that can only be known by faith. And truly, when a person walks by faith and not by sight, he is a spiritual Christian, and he walks by sight and not by faith, he's a carnal Christian. So it's very important. Lot made the choice based upon what he saw, not based upon what God saw. And that's why carnal Christians end up lots of time in the trouble that they get into. All right, like a carnal Christian, Lot not only walked by sight, but he walked according to the course of this world. Look in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11. The Bible says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. All right, well, where they're situated, they're in what we know to be Israel today. And when Lot leaves Abraham, he heads down into the Jordan Valley and on the way to where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be on the banks of now the Dead Sea. So he had to go east to get there. Now you may think, well, that's not any big deal. But the truth of the matter is, when you read the Bible, you find that God follows a path and the world follows a path. As a matter of fact, the two paths are contrary to each other. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 2:2, we find that there is a course of this world, and then we know that there is a direction of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, concerning us before our salvation, he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and some other things. Well, the way things go, the sun, you know, we talk about sunrise and sunset, okay? So when I say the sun, the path of the sun is east to west, what we're saying is that the way that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, okay? So God's direction follows the path of the sun. The sun is as a bridegroom in his chamber. According to Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. So we can see some evidence of God's path based upon the path of the sun. It travels from east to west. Well, when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees to go in the direction God sent him, he went from east to west. And there are other cases of this. Paul was forbidden to go east into Asia when he prayed. So he was given a vision, a man of Macedonia that called him. So he, instead of going east into Asia, he went west into Macedonia. The gospel, if you study the history of the church age, has spread from west throughout church history. The Jews, when they went into the land of Canaan, entered from east to west. Well, Christians, we are to walk in the Spirit and not after the fashion of the world. We're not to backslide. We're not to go along with the world. Now, you wouldn't know that today when you see the modern churches and the modern movement. They've picked up many of the business aspects of the world. They've picked up many of the sayings of the world. They've picked up many of the technological techniques and advances of the world. They've picked up many of the social aspects of the world and brought all that into church in an effort to get more people to come to church. The justification for bringing the world into the church is that more souls can be saved. Well, the increase of possession is what ended up getting Abraham and Lot into the fix they were in, among other things. And so I don't agree that we travel the course of this world in order to get an opportunity to lead some of them to the Lord. Jesus would never do that. He always walked in the direction of God. And likewise, we must do the same thing. All right, like a carnal Christian, Lot walked by sight. He walked according to the course of this world. To show you something else. Like a carnal Christian, Lot made decisions because they were good for business, not because they were good for his family. Boy, this is a really touchy situation here. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Well, if it's well watered, it's got plenty of grass, and if it has plenty of grass, it's a great place to raise cattle. Bob Jones Sr. said, it was a good place to raise cattle, but it wasn't a good place to raise a family. And I think Bob Jones Sr. was exactly right about that. You see, there's a difference between well-watered plains and well-watered souls from the water of life. Jesus Christ told the woman at the well that when she went to draw him water, said, if you know who was asking you, you'd ask of him, because he has the water of life. In John chapter 7, he said, out of our rivers would flow, out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit of God. You know, it's very important sometimes to really consider the motive behind the decisions you make as it concerns your job and as it concerns business. For instance, we wrestle from time to time, and rightly so, with Christian education. But when I read the Bible, I realize that Christian education is the responsibility of the parents. It is not the prime responsibility of the church. Now, churches oftentimes have Christian schools in an effort to help parents with the job of their Christian education, but lots of times problems erupt because the church is doing it one way, the parents want them to do it another way. And the conflict is the church is usurping sometimes or replacing sometimes the duty and responsibility of parents to educate their children. So lots of times parents will homeschool. But when they do, what happens is somebody's going to give up an income so the other person can stay home and school the children. I received an email from a friend of mine the other day who lives in another state, and he said, boy, we are really, really struggling financially. My wife is a teacher, but she's staying home with the children, and we're missing her salary. Well, you can understand the financial strains it's putting on that family, but they've made that choice in spite of the fact that it's hard for business because the decision is good for the family. A church deacon that I know in another state is in a very good church and was offered double salary. And you know what he decided to do? He decided to stay in his home church rather than to move to a place that didn't have a good church, which is where the extra salary was. He said, how in the world would he pass that up? You got to understand, this guy has like six kids, okay? And he's making a nice salary, but I'm telling you, they have to watch their pennies. Double money. Do you understand? Double money. Don't you know that would relieve a lot of financial pressure on the family? It would. But you know what? They didn't have a good church. And he said, if I take them over there and don't have a good church, I may be able to pay my bills. But what about my children? And so he stayed home. Home in the hometown and in his home church. All right, here's another thing. Like a carnal Christian, Lot not only made decisions because they were good for business and not because they were good for the family, but like a carnal Christian, Lot separated himself from a godly influence. He separated himself from a godly influence. Again, we recognize that there was a command by God that Abraham go without his family. Well, once he drug Lot into this area rather than leaving him back in the Ur of the Chaldees, he was the only godly influence that Lot had. By separating themselves, there's no reason why Lot couldn't come to see Abraham on a regular basis, but he got tied up in the local influence. Look in Genesis chapter 13, verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves. Look at that. They separated themselves, the one from the other. Now, they did it to preserve harmony between their herdmen because of the increase of their possessions, but there was no reason why from time to time Lot couldn't come see him. But they separated themselves. Now look, what you want to contrast is you want to contrast this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says that you are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers because there's no fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and the more as you see the day approaching. We're to spend time together with Christians, and we are to stay separated from infidels. Do you understand? Because if you separate from infidels, then you are not going to expose yourself to their ungodly influence. And if you stay in association with Christians, you are going to continue to expose yourself and your family to godly influence. And that's very important. Carnal Christians will separate from godly influence to be able to have all the pleasures of the world. They'll say, I'm not going to go to church on Sunday. We're going to go to the lake. We're going to go to the cabin. We're going to go to the wherever, you understand? And eventually what happens, you begin to see that terrorizing and tearing up the family. Like a carnal Christian, Lot separated himself from a godly influence. Now, you need to be careful about that. When the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, so much the more as you see the day approaching, don't forget, we still have Sunday school, Sunday morning services, Sunday evening services, and Wednesday evening services. And you say, well, people don't really come to those. Yes, they do. You say, well, why would they go to church that much? Because they want to be around godly influences, and they want their children around godly influences. And I'm going to tell you what, you can tell the differences. Like a carnal Christian, Lot became a friend of the world. He became a friend of the world. You see, when you lose that godly influence, then the worldly influence is going to replace that. Look in Genesis chapter 13. You've already seen this, verse 11, but look on it down to verse 13. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, when he got down there, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But by the time you find him in Genesis chapter 19, he is sitting in the gate of the city. You say, what does that mean? Well, when you read through the Bible and you find all these references to men in the gate of the city, that's where the principal business takes place. That's where the main men are. That's where the city holds its council meetings. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. You see, that thing drew him in. He became a friend of the world. And the Bible tells you not to be making friendships with the world, because when you do, you're an enemy of God, James 4:4. As a matter of fact, when the angels came to stay with Lot and the homosexuals came up to know them in the biblical sense, Genesis chapter 19, verse 6 says, Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And then when he was talking to him in verse 7, he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He called them brethren. Listen, Abraham was his brother. When you look back in Genesis 14:14, when Sodom and Gomorrah had been attacked by the kings of the east, and Abraham found out about it, he referred to Lot as his brother, even though Lot was his nephew. He said, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. That's your brother. Not those homosexuals that were in Sodom trying to attack your house guests. Now the world will pull you toward itself and away from God. It's not a neutral force. God and the world are opposed to each other, and to try to ride the middle is impossible. Lot was out there with his tent pitched toward Sodom, and the next thing you know, he has been drawn completely into town and calling those whom God is about to destroy brethren. You see it? That's carnal Christians. That's what happens to Christians. They know the movie stars. They know the TV actors. They know the modern musicians. They know the football stats. They know all the players. They know all the picks. But they don't know anything about the Bible. They couldn't name two dozen Old Testament Bible characters. That's a sad thing. That's a worldly thing. That's a carnal Christian. Like a carnal Christian, Lot walked by sight. He lifted up his eyes and chose the plain of Jordan. He walked according to the course of this world, opposite to the direction that God travels. He went east. He made decisions because they were good for business, not because they were good for his family, and his family paid the price. He separated himself from his only godly influence, Uncle Abraham, and he became a friend of the world, ending up calling those God detested brethren. I'll tell you something else. Like a carnal Christian, Lot only received help from God because of others who loved him. Lot only received help from God because of others who loved him. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Abraham had to come to Lot's rescue and his family's rescue when the men of the east had come in and attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. If it hadn't been for Lot and his servants, they wouldn't have been saved. In Genesis chapter 18 and in Genesis chapter 19, Abraham is the one that was praying, trying to get Lot spared from what was coming. He knew what was coming. Listen. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, though Abraham didn't ask specifically for the life of Lot, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Abraham said, if there's 10 righteous people there, will you spare the town? And the Lord said, I will. I will not destroy it for 10's sake. There weren't 10. There were 4. And it's questionable about 3 that came out with Lot. God still remembered Abraham. Why? Because he'd been praying for him. Abraham's prayers were what spared Lot in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? Often only the saints pray for a character like Lot, and God intervenes on their intercessions. Lot missed all the other fellowship he could have had with God, and he certainly didn't have the type of prayer life that God seemed to want to spare him. Or at least if he did, Lot didn't ask. Isn't that amazing? Just a tragic, tragic situation. They only received God's help because of others who loved him. Now, I've been on the receiving end of that, and perhaps you have too, but we can't keep living there. At some point in time, you and I need to be the ones praying for those who are wayward with God. I'll tell you something else. Like a carnal Christian, Lot lost his testimony. Oh, boy. Lot lost his testimony. Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. When he found out what was fixing to happen, he went to warn them. So he had at least two daughters that were not living at home with him, who were married. And he went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He lost his testimony. He came to witness to his family, and they thought he was mocking them. In other words, Lot had really never said anything about it, and now he goes over to the bar, or wherever they are, and he says, Hey, man, God's fixing to destroy this place. Well, the reason it sounds like he's mocking is he's never said anything before, and they would assume that here's this guy pretending to be all righteous now, pretending to be all godly now, and he's saying these things because he's embarrassed that his sons-in-law are down here the way they are, ungodly. And he's trying to convince us somehow to quit doing what we're doing, that he's mocking our sin. Boy, I'll tell you what, when he gets like that man, you're in bad shape. When your life is no more of a testimony to your family than they think you're mocking them when you come to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, your testimony is shot. I can remember when the Lord turned my life around. I started witnessing to people. I said, please don't hold against me the way things were before my life was turned around, because I'm telling you, boy, this thing with the Lord Jesus Christ is dead serious. And at first, you know, they were like, we're going to see if this is going to last. We're not going to make any changes if this guy's suddenly making a change and then going to go back to what he was before. And you know something? It stuck. And with time, the testimony began to rebuild. And I want to tell you something. If you've lost your testimony through wicked living, if you'll turn into righteousness and start living for God, you know what'll happen? In time, your testimony will strengthen, and they won't think you're mocking anymore. They'll know you're dead serious. Why? Because it affects your life just like you want it to affect theirs. Lot is the perfect picture of a carnal Christian. Why? Because like a carnal Christian, not only did Lot lose his testimony, but he blew his inheritance. You say, what happened? The city burned up. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 24, he didn't go out to the plain and go get any cattle. He ran for the hills, and that was the end of that. The Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain. That's where his cattle were. And all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. So any crops, any hay, any of that good grass he saw out there, burned up. All of his possessions, all of his friends, some of his family, destroyed in the fire. You know what it pictures? It pictures the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give account of your work. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is very, very specific about what happens at that judgment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet, or but, he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So the judgment seat of Christ is a fiery trial of the sort of work you have done. And if you've built with wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold, silver, and precious stones, it's all going up in smoke. You see, Lot lost his inheritance. Everything he'd worked for was gone. The Bible says when you and I turn back to sin and become unrighteous, you know what happens? We don't inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. We lose our inheritance, but not our sonship. The Bible says, yet, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, but he himself should be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, that's old Lot. He was saved, yet so as by fire. Everything he had was burned up, but he got out of there alive. Why? Well, he was a righteous man. He was a just man. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says that when the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were turned into ashes, okay, that God delivered just Lot, not only Lot, because the two daughters and his wife came out, even though she was turned to a pillar of salt. He was just, and that he was justified. The Bible says in verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, you see. And in verse 9, deliver the godly out of temptation. He was a godly man. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. It's just the trouble is he just destroyed himself, making all of his decisions based upon what he saw and not based upon God's leadership. And you know what? You know what the world did to him? The world during that whole time vexed him. That's what the Bible says. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So he was vexed the entire time he was there, and then lost his inheritance in the end. That's a tragic, tragic end. Why? That's what happens to carnal Christians. Live it up down here and lose it all in eternity. Listen, we're going to bring this message to a close, okay? And just tell you that like a carnal Christian, Lot lost a lot of things. Blew his inheritance, lost his testimony, lost his godly influence with Abraham, became a friend of the world, just messed up, okay? Lot should convince you and me to shun the world and stay connected to godly Christians, to make decisions based on the will of God, and to consider the eternal rather than the temporal when leading your family and your business in decisions. God bless you if you'll turn from being a Lot. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.